Welcome to Plan Lehigh Valley, a monthly program that explores the activity at the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. Today, we welcome the Commission Executive Director, Becky Bradley, the Chief Community Planner, Samantha Smith, and Matt Assad, its Managing Editor. Welcome to each of you.
Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
First, Matt, you've directed me to your website where you have a report containing new data. How can our listeners access this data? It's very interesting. They may want to poke along as we talk.
Well, they can go to lvpc.org.
Okay.
And then go under the Data LV tab. And under Data LV, you will see tabs for several topics. This one happens to be housing. And on that page, you're going to find not only this most recent report, but previous reports. There's a lot on there. There's a lot of analysis for every school district, every municipality. There's analysis for housing and at-risk jobs and all sorts of things. So it's a wealth of information, a big resource.
So while you're listening, you may want to take a look at that website. Becky, if you're buying or selling a house in the Lehigh Valley, you may be saying, yikes, what's going on?
Yes, that's the understatement of the century. The market is hot, hot, hot. And last year, the median sales price of a Lehigh Valley home increased by $25,000 and to $225,000. So that increase in 1 year was equal to the previous 6 years combined. So, you know, that has a whole host of implications. Everything from, wow, you're going to have a larger down payment to, yikes, I'm going to be paying more for something that I've been planning a few years ago to pay less for. And so that has a whole host of implications for not only affordability, but mobility and the market.
So paint the clear picture for us. If you are getting or have an offer on a house that is that you can't believe you're getting, it's higher than you expected. What's the other side of that?
Well, it's good for the seller, as long as they have another unit to go to, right? But it's not so good for the buyer. And a lot of people, according to Justin Perembo at the Lehigh Valley Realtors, I want to make sure, you know, he's recognized as part of this too. Learn from him, you know, that people are waiving everything, inspections. They're paying cash. They're, you know, reducing times to make the sale. So if you're, let's say, a person who will have a mortgage, there are sellers that have cash that are coming in and buying and reducing the turnaround time to basically move into the unit. And so what that's doing is that's really hurting younger buyers who tend to have mortgages or need more financing at the upfront in their lives. So it's really causing a whole series of not only generational issues, but financial and economic issues as well.
And this isn't just going on here in the Lehigh Valley. It's going on everywhere pretty much.
It is nationwide. The interesting thing is it didn't really happen here as fast as, you know, the Denver market or things that, you know, we were hearing out of Washington, D.C. for decades, right? It's really, really amplified here. And there's a lot of reasons for that.
Samantha, as the community planner, what does this all mean to you?
It means that we, you know, as planners and the municipalities in the region need to work with the private sector to meet the housing needs we have. So we have a remarkably low housing inventory. You know, based on our population, we should probably have around 10,000 units, give or take, that's, you know, for sale or for rent in the region at any given time. And we are hovering closer to 3,100. So that's way less than we should have. And that contributes to the heat in the market that Becky was just talking about. It means more people are competing for fewer units. There's less options. Prices increase for that reason as well. So getting more units built is the biggest thing that we need to do as a region. And the private sector is responding. Last year in 2020, we saw over 5,100 units proposed. So those aren't on the ground yet. And that was in the initial stage. But that means that the private sector knows there's an issue and is moving as quickly as they can to respond to the issue to get not only single-family homes, but apartments, twins, townhomes, you know, everything you can think of on the ground to meet the needs of the Lehigh Valley's population now and folks who are moving here as well.
So, Samantha, you have this data. You know that there is a housing shortage. How do you convince somebody to get into the building market, or how do you move the builders?
I think messaging. You know, we sometimes get caught up in our own areas. So, you know, there's people that focus on luxury housing. There's people that focus on affordable housing. It's trying to get everybody to the table at the same time to understand where the needs are. You know, this data and analysis we have helps to point towards the location of need and the price point of the need in that location. So to help steer the affordable housing folks to areas where there's really big affordable housing need, and you know the builders who are working in the middle of the market to work there, and also to attract builders, you know, who may not have been in the Lehigh Valley market here because of how hot it is. Obviously, there's money to be made, so to speak, and so it shouldn't take a lot to convince more folks to come in to help those who are already here fulfilling the need.
Matt, as the person who's in charge of the messaging here, the managing editor, I noticed that the signals that you're sending in the community are many. There's articles in the newspaper, your social media is directing people to these studies that are available. Becky is doing a lot of interviews on this subject because it's important. From a messaging standpoint, what's the yield? What are you looking for people to really understand here?
I think collectively we want people to understand that it isn't just an affordable housing problem. Like we don't have enough affordable housing. It's not just a problem that, you know, some people can't afford. It's really a problem across the spectrum of the housing market. We need houses in every price point. Interestingly, that analysis shows that the two places where houses are most with a shortage are actually the bottom of the market and, surprisingly, the top of the market. So that's causing people at the top of the market to buy down into the middle, causing people at the bottom of the market to buy up into the middle, and it's causing this compression because we have really shortages at really every price point. We just need more houses. People to sort of understand that.
Some people obviously rent, and for good reasons. If you are a person who likes to invest in rental properties, doesn't this pricing boom put pressure on the rental system? Because the person who wants to invest in a rental property won't make the amount of money, possibly, that they could. For example, let's say a person wants to get 8% on their cash purchase. There is a price point where people can't afford to rent over, you know, a certain amount, isn't there?
I don't think that actually is the case. I think renting has gone up just as much.
Yeah.
The numbers are going up just as quickly as home purchases, and we're actually finding a lot more people are renting, as it turns out. There's kind of quite a big trend in the Lehigh Valley toward renting. So I think as a person who's buying rental units, I think actually there's probably lots of money to be made there, because I think we have some stat here that says that just a few years ago, only 43% of rental units were over $1,000, and now it's almost 57%.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's hard to get a cheap rental in the Lehigh Valley these days.
Becky, this weekend I had dinner with a builder. And she said that this was out of state, but she commented that lumber pricing has gone up 60% or 30% in some areas, and she said it was due to tariffs being put on lumber coming in from Canada, and some people who had purchased land and then were going to build a house for say $350 are now seeing their house final price coming in at $430. Now, this again wasn't in the Lehigh Valley, but you know, that's a big increase.
Yeah, we have the same issues here. In fact, as you can well imagine, we talk to private sector builders, developers all the time. And it's not just the price of lumber. It is the price of darn near every construction material you could think of. And think of all the things that goes into a housing unit, you know, everything from cement to lumber to wiring materials, you know, windows and glass, all of those things. So plastic products as well. So at the end of the day, it is actually making it harder for developers to respond to the need. Sure, tariffs are at a portion of the issue, but you know, COVID-19 pandemic has had a huge ripple effect on the supply chain. And that's part of this issue as well. There haven't been necessarily workers to manufacture some of the things that you need to go into housing because of the pandemic, because you couldn't have as many people in manufacturing facilities making, you know, switch plates for light fixtures or, you know, things that you don't necessarily think of, but are very important. You know, don't want the kids getting electrocuted, right?
So right.
At the end of the day, there's this huge sort of backlog. It's sort of ripple at the ports. There's ripple inside where goods are manufactured here. There's a ripple inside the United States where these companies that make things that go into what we build are trying desperately to catch up. Then you have the delays in the supply chain itself for the same reason. The good news is it appears that we're starting to come out of the pandemic. So, you know, over time, I think some of those issues will start to soften and hopefully go away. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're still going to have some of these things. Oh, and I forgot to mention, too, with everyone being home, the amount of home improvement going on is gone through the roof as well. So where, you know, people would do a fair amount of home improvement overall, or apartment improvements in the like to their space, that's skyrocketed too. So now there's more competition in the market. And really one of our big issues here is the in-migration of people from other places. So we're hovering around, you know, 4,000 new residents per year. And that's not just recent. That's like a 60-year trend. And so essentially what that's resulted in is we've added an entire population of the city of Allentown, a city of Easton, and a city and a half of Bethlehem in basically a lifetime. And, you know, a lot of that has been at a suburban scale. And now with, you know, the real focus, there's been a long-term focus, but a real public focus in a broader sense on things like open space, farmland preservation, you know, talking about how we build and we rise to the challenges of the need of housing and where we build is a really important conversation for our entire region and certainly at the Commission.
You are listening to Plan Lehigh Valley on WDIY. We'll be back right after this message.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Welcome back to Plan Lehigh Valley. We're with Becky Bradley, Samantha Smith, and Matt Assad talking about housing here. Samantha, what is the definition of diversity in housing?
Sometimes people think about housing and you automatically go to the suburban, single-family, residential lot, you know, your big piece of land. But diversity in housing means providing that for the people who need and want that, providing twin units, you know, or row homes, townhomes, apartments, condos. We've got to have housing for all the people and all of their needs. And as our area and really nationally, people's interests and desires change, so does the housing need. So, for example, rental is becoming more and more common. One in three residents in the Valley are renters. And so, people want to rent not just apartments. People want to rent single-family homes or, twins in some of the more urbanized areas. And we need all of those types of units to fulfill everybody's needs, to have variety in the market for our long-term sustainability, to give options at price points in all of those different housing types, and also to provide the density that we need. So, the single-family detached unit obviously takes up more land per unit than an apartment does. And so where we can provide units at a higher density, we should, especially in the areas that are already developed, with redeveloping properties or infill development, filling in gaps, in the grid, to provide density in areas that can accommodate density and avoid creating sprawl in the more agricultural rural areas of the Valley.
Becky, what concerns you today when you look at homes?
What concerns me is that there's too much compression in the market, and that people that can afford more housing don't have that housing to buy. And the other thing that really concerns me is if we really are going to have the things that the community says they want to have, which is parks, recreation, open space, our bus rapid transit enhanced bus system that we're planning, which is basically like the wheeled version of a light rail line, a phase one of light rail, right? We have that plan throughout the Lehigh Valley with Lanta. We want our agricultural community and our open spaces and our view sheds to remain intact. We cannot build like we did during the second half of the 20th century. We do not have the space. We're at a tipping point in terms of our growth. And we really have to make the decision that we want to support the things that we say we want and then actually go and support them. Saying it is not enough.
So if we're looking for land, is there ever a possibility where, for example, our first responders, people who have incredibly valuable jobs but make what they make, are living an hour away from our community because they can't afford to buy inside?
Yeah, and I know you're speaking specifically to first responders, and actually, I got two answers to that question. A, there is a huge issue with our emergency management services in the Lehigh Valley today. A lot of it is done by volunteers. They cannot live in the communities that they're serving. The volunteer infrastructure as well is extremely challenged because, you don't necessarily live and work in the same community. In fact, you're most likely not to live and work in the community in which you reside. There's not adequate funding streams available. A lot of our fire companies and our ambulance services, which are often overlooked as a critical part of emergency management, they're being operated on subscriptions and basically as nonprofits in a lot of ways. So, you need to contribute to them on an annual basis. A lot of people don't realize that they need to do that, yet they expect the response. And as you get more people, too, one of the big issues is, especially with our fire companies, is if you don't have adequate water supply and you're going from a rural area to a suburban area or even an exurban area to more of a suburban area, you have to start expanding services. If you don't have adequate public water systems and sewer system, yet you're building, you're creating a situation of potential water contamination and then a potentially inhabitable situation. So we cannot think of ourselves in the same way that we did after World War II or that we did in the 1960s, 80s, 90s, or even into the 2010s. Times have absolutely changed. The pressures have changed in our entire infrastructure system. government through regulation, public sewer and water, emergency management services has to rise to that challenge. And simultaneously with the housing cost issue and the real lack of housing, we have a lot of people now driving into the Lehigh Valley from Carbon and Schuylkill counties, which we didn't necessarily see in the quantities that we do now. We don't have adequate road infrastructure or transit infrastructure to support those movements. The likelihood of that being improved with the lack of transportation funding globally, which also includes transit funding, is not there and is not going necessarily to be there. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of challenges, which supports why we need to provide as many opportunities in those existing developed locations, whether it's the cities or our existing suburbs.
So it sounds like we need money. Do you think we'll be increasing property taxes?
Look, I don't control that conversation, you know, at all. But I would expect, you know, we've come out of that era from the 80s, the 90s, 2000s, and 2010, and it's still very much a thing, you know, no taxes, no taxes, no taxes. But at the end of the day, you have a point where you hit a law of diminishing returns. So I think you'll see legislative bodies, local level, school districts, state, Congress, start to move in a different direction that's more fee-based and user fee-based, really, at the end of the day. And I think certain systems that, you know, worked well in the 20th century, by and large, will need to change as technology and other things start to change.
My first employer had a message on the bottom of our paychecks that said, taxes are an investment in your community.
It's the truth.
Yeah. Because people would complain about taxes, and then they'd say, well, yeah, okay, here's how we pay for the roads. So where do you see this all going? Would we be in this situation without COVID?
Oh, definitely. I think COVID is just accelerated it. I mean, I don't know, Sam or Matt, what you guys think.
I agree wholeheartedly. You know, the heat of the housing market is a good example. All of the factors that Becky mentioned existed before COVID, and then COVID shows up, and, you know, the housing market basically got shut down for a portion of last year, and so the folks who were looking to move or buy and sell during that time kind of got put on pause, and so they're competing with, you know, with everybody else, and the influx of people looking to be here now that remote working is more common and more acceptable, you know, those that were commuting to the cities before, you know, or living in New Jersey, for example, and commute to the city but dreamed of living here, now they can live here because they can work remotely. So I think COVID for sure has created compression in the housing market or amplified it. And then, you know, the eviction and foreclosure ban nationally, sooner or later, that's going to expire. You know, thankfully, it's been extended a number of times, and that keeps people in their homes and helps, you know, prevent them from, God forbid, ending up in homeless shelters and then in crowded situations where COVID can spread like wildfire. But, you know, the people who haven't been able to afford their mortgage or rent now face having to catch up or become evicted when the ban is lifted. And then what? You know, we all need to be thinking about how we can keep those folks in the safe situation and not have a major market issue resulting from the ban being lifted right now, looks like, in June.
So, Becky, we have a lot of information here. What do we need to do with this information now?
Many things. I think, first of all, we really need our local governments to start to, and a number of them are already updating their comprehensive plans, some of them with us, some independently. A lot of communities are also updating their laws, so their zoning and their subdivision land development ordinances. They need to keep doing that to really evolve to the challenge. But I think one of the biggest issues to the development and preservation conversation is actually the water and sewer infrastructure piece of it. And so often our water and sewer infrastructure is controlled by authorities, a variety of authorities. And some of them really aren't necessarily seeing the need to extend or expand service to keep the residential units viable. So, you know, there's a lot of, and I know I'm answering this from a regulatory management perspective, but at the end of the day, that's a good place to start. In terms of the market, I'll kick it over to Matt or Sam to answer that question.
In terms of the market, in what respect?
I answered it from the government perspective, but, you know, what can the market do to rise to these challenges?
Well, actually, I think the market is actually rising to the occasion. When you see, Sam and Becky talked a little bit about the need for diversity in housing, and when you look back at our last housing boom, which was between 2002 and 2007, the single-family home absolutely dominated that. Single-family detached home. Big homes on giant lots, you know, one-acre lots, used a lot of land, but it was also one type of home that sort of dominated the market. And when you see what's happened since we've come back from the Great Recession, there actually is a move toward that greater diversity. And when you look at last year, where we had a little over 1,900 homes approved, 866 of them were apartments, and there were almost as many townhomes as there were single-family detached homes. So the market, this is a different type of boom, and in an encouraging way, in a way that's going to help the Lehigh Valley sort of preserve the things that sort of make it special. You know, it's farmland and open space and natural resources that everyone seems to love.
And I think, too, one of the things that we didn't have a chance to mention yet, but is really important, is we have workshop housing, which is basically an open table for anyone who wants to get involved in the housing solutions conversation and then implementation conversation, to come to the table and work together to solve whatever the housing issues of the day are. And they met, I think, Sam, was about 2 weeks ago now. Yeah. And we're actually going to be this fall embarking on the development of a new housing strategy to re-envision housing overall based on what we need now, not what the past sort of dictated. And the private sector is there with us, the bankers, the developers, the builders, as well as the nonprofit sectors. Very important to the homeless conversation and to the affordable housing conversation, as well as many local governments, the counties, and the like. So everybody's coming together. We're going to be partnering up on that initiative with the Urban Land Institute, which brings together all of these different sectors to work specifically on these issues. And they have a lot of talent from around the country and even around the world on how regions can evolve in a responsible way. So we're going to be facilitating some dialogues that ultimately are going to lead to a new strategy that should be the foundation of where we need to start to go as a region. So folks can expect that in the fall. And if you go to our website at lvpc.org and look for the housing workshop piece, you can sign up through there, and we'll get you more involved.
Becky Bradley, Samantha Smith, and Matt Assad from the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. We're out of time. Thank you very much for sharing this very important information. And once again, make sure you go to that website to learn more about what Lehigh Valley needs to do when it comes to building housing. You are listening to WDIY. I'm your host, Greg Capone. You have a good evening.